You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_data. Well, it's good to be back from my little mini vacation. Actually, that's a lie. It's not. But, you know, they can't last forever. You gotta have a normal life sometimes. I don't know why that's a rule. But it is. You have to go back to the house you don't like, in the city you don't like, back to the job you don't like. You just have to. I don't know. I've tried calling Airbnb and saying, can I do like a month-to-month plan where I just stay wherever I want? Like, instead of paying rent, can I just give that money to you, and I just go to any Airbnb anywhere in the country and just live there? It's a lie. I never actually called because there's also the job thing. But I would call if I thought they wouldn't hang up on me, and if I could do my job remotely, and if my wife would be okay with that, which she wouldn't. Anyways, happy Tuesday. Hope you all had a fantastic 4th of July weekend. Got your fingers and toes and all that good stuff. If you don't, make sure you join the Packernet Podcast Facebook group, because we all would like to see pictures. You know, post-op. You know, after you get it taken care of and whatnot. We want to keep it at least PG-13 for the youngins in the group. But do make sure you're in the Packernet Podcast Facebook group. Make sure you like the Packernet Podcast Facebook page. If you haven't yet, a 5-star iTunes review would be greatly appreciated. Stitcher, which apparently was just acquired by SiriusXM Radio. I don't know what that means. Hopefully they'll be updating it and making it better, because all these podcast players are kind of a joke. I'm not going to go on that rant again, but, you know. I'm still waiting for one of these multi-trillion dollar companies to make podcasts awesome. Apple, which kind of has the market still cornered, refuses to do anything even slightly responsible. But again, not going on that rant again. But you can leave a review at Stitcher.com or something. I don't know. Anyways, if you'd like to support the podcast, there's a bunch of links, things you can do, etc., etc. Why don't we just go ahead and take a break right here, and on the other side of the break, we'll talk about this sham of a contract that Pat Mahomes signed that everyone is all freaked out about, which is, it's just dumb. The whole thing is dumb. But anyways, we'll be right back.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built-for-us.
All right, so Patty Mayo. Pat Mahomey. You ever watch that Patty Mayo guy? It is shocking. There is a massive community of people, and I'm sorry if you're a part of this community. There is a massive audience for Patty Mayo, who is a YouTuber that basically has a show in which he pretends to be a police officer. He is absolutely not. That is 100,000% verified. And if you couldn't tell that just by watching it, I have to wonder about your mental stability. But it's terrible acting. He basically goes out and pays people to tase them, and that's what he does. Don't do it, or I'll tase you. Don't do it. Don't tase. Probably gives him like $100, because he gets like 60 billion views on these garbage videos and is a bajillionaire. Anyways, Pat Mahomes, back to the subject at hand, let me tell you what he didn't do. Pat Mahomes did not sign a 10-year deal for $450 million. I don't understand the point of this. He may as well, the Chiefs may as well have given him a 50-year contract for $6 trillion. It would make no difference. I finally got a chance to look at the structure of this contract because the whole thing seemed weird. Why would anybody want to sign a 10-year contract, and why would any team want to offer a 10-year contract? Now, depending on the structure of it, it could fall in the favor of one way or the other, But if you're a quarterback, don't sign a 10-year contract. If you look at Aaron Rodgers, remember, we've talked about this several times. Whenever he signs a contract, it's like, dude, that's so much money. Why would you do that? We're ruined now. And then by the time he gets to be, you know, quote-unquote expensive, the salary cap has caught up and he's like the fourth highest paid quarterback. And then all of a sudden, he's underpaid and he needs a new contract. And then we give him a new contract and what happens? Oh, that's so ridiculous. $33 million a year. That is disgusting. You don't pay a guy that much money. We can never afford that. How can we live? How will we survive? The poor offensive linemen are going to be starving on the streets. And the same thing repeats itself. Now, granted, we just took a jump on an average per year basis from 35 to 45 million. That's a massive jump. So that should be able to sustain for a while until it becomes not super expensive. But I promise you, it's not going to take 10 years before it becomes a not that big of a deal. But again, all of this is contingent on how it's actually structured. And here is, and again, maybe this isn't official, I don't know. Here's the part that matters, it's the guarantees. What is the amount of money that he's guaranteed? Apparently, and I had seen this, but I didn't know what it meant because they said injury guarantees. And I was like, what is it? Is there additional guarantees beyond that? But this, according to SpotTrack, his total guaranteed money is $141 million. That's it. Keep in mind, Kirk Cousins signed a contract, 100% of his contract was guaranteed. 100%. If you look at how much he was guaranteed at signing, for example, it's not even a bit. $63 million. Carson Wentz got 66, Russell Wilson got 70, Matt Ryan got 94, Aaron Rodgers got 79. Khalil Mack got $60 million guaranteed at signing. Now, his total guaranteed money of $141 is a new record, but Jared Goff got $110. It's not much. The only real money is a guaranteed money. He got $30 million more than Jared Goff. That's it. Now, if you talk about guaranteed as a percentage of the contract, I can't find anybody who is guaranteed less money. Kirk Cousins got 100%. If we just go down the line, 82% to Goff, 84% to Wentz, Russell Wilson 76%, Matt Ryan 66%, Aaron Rodgers 73%, Matt Stafford 68%, Tannehill 77%, Khalil Mack 63%, Aaron Donald 64%. Patrick Mahomes had 31% of this contract guaranteed. Not even a third of this contract is guaranteed to go into his pocket. Here's the other thing that's ridiculous. This is such a high amount of money in terms of a per year basis. Now, granted, he's not going to see $45 million at any point in his career. If you look at the cap hits, it doesn't hit 45 or above until 2027 when he's scheduled to hit $60 million, which I guarantee never going to see $60 million. The Chiefs are not going to take a $60 million cap hit for a quarterback ever. So that's not going to happen. But if you just think about this, 141 is what's guaranteed. That's all the Chiefs have to pay him is 141. After they've paid him $141 million, he can go away. Now, there's a no-trade clause, that's true, but they can restructure his contract, and if he refuses to restructure, there's always the option to just cut him. But of course he's willing to restructure because he has no guarantees. And the quarterbacks and every player wants to have guarantees because it's the only power he has. Once you have no guarantees, you're expendable. So this contract is fake, but going back to what I was saying, all they owe him is $141 million. So basically, you subtract every year the amount of money that you paid from the guaranteed money. So in 2020, his cap hit is $5 million. So they just, usually in the first year, there's nothing. It's one of the benefits of extending somebody. In 2021, his cap hit is $24 million. Keep this in mind for everyone saying, oh man, their cap is busted. I feel sorry. Even TJ Lang was saying something like, I feel sorry for everybody else who's never going to see any money, or Chiefs players are never... They're not paying them that much. In 2022, it's $31 million. Now, in 2023, it jumps to $42 million, which is a big cap hit. But here's the thing. Because of the $63 million at signing, you subtract his signing bonus from the guaranteed because that's the cash you already paid him. Already on this date, right now, there's only $64.9 million in guaranteed money left. Actually, that's not true. It's after this season because there's still about $1 million in base salary. There's the $4 million of the signing bonus, which will also be added on this year. Anyways, after this season is done, so I could do the math, but the point is about half of his guarantees are gone already. already gone. Then next year, there isn't that big or that much money, so it drops down just a little, whatever. But in 2023, when it jumps to $42.4 million, by the time it's all said and done, there's only $4 million in guarantees left. That's it, $4 million. In 2023, Aaron Rodgers has $2.8, he has $3 million left in guarantees. Pat Mahomes has four. So in 2023, Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes have about the same amount of money left in their contract. Now, not in terms of actualized, right? In terms of if Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs just let this ride out, which will never happen, Pat Mahomes obviously has a lot more money left. But in terms of total money guaranteed, Pat Mahomes has one more $1 million left on his contract in 2023 than Aaron Rodgers. This whole thing is a joke. In 2024, he's scheduled to make $40 million. There's only $2 million left in guarantee. Pat Mahomes has 3 years. 3 years of contract in which they can't cut or move him or do anything. In those years, the cap hit is $5 million, $24 million, and $31 million. That's not a lot of money. In 2023, already at the age of 27, they can easily restructure this. They might not even have to because $42 million is probably going to be high, but there's probably going to be some quarterbacks making 39-ish, whatever, I don't know. But again, they could happily restructure this, and Pat Mahomes would be happy to do so because, again, his guarantees are already gone in 2023, which leaves 2025, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31 with zero guarantees left. I've never seen a contract like this. This is all fake. All of this is fake. All this money that's sitting out here, the $42 million cap hit, a $42 million cap hit, a $60 million cap hit, 44.5, 45, 50, 52, all that is fake. The Chiefs aren't going to pay any of that. They don't have to. This is not a 10-year contract. This is a joke. Most of this money is sitting in roster bonuses, which is to say, if we haven't cut you and you come back on the team, so like in 2025, for example, if you look at it, there's no guaranteed money. His base salary is only $2.5 million. His roster bonus, these things that kick in like March or whatever, which basically means if we haven't cut you yet and you're still here, you get $40 million just smacked on the table. $40 million. That's where all the money is. But again, I don't know why the Chiefs wouldn't restructure this. And they've made it so, again, in 2023, Pat Mahomes and his agent are already looking at this like, this is dangerous territory. We need more guarantees out of this. And the Chiefs are going to be sitting there going, oh, would you really? Well, I'd be happy to do that. Because guess what? They don't want to pay $42 million. Or excuse me, have a cap hit of $42 million. So they'll happily restructure. They'll take a bunch of this money, they'll put it into the signing bonus, which is money that's allowed to be spread out over 5 years, which right now is at basically nothing. It's about $2 million per. And I'm guessing you would just add it on. I don't think you can remove the signing bonus. But again, it's only at $2 million. So if you take that and make it $7 million or whatever, now you're looking at $9 million. You spread that out. You lessen your cap hit. This whole thing is just a massive joke. This is not a big contract at all. $141 million in guaranteed money. That essentially runs out after 3 years. And again, the cap hit in those 3 years is $5 million, $24 million, and $31. The biggest cap hit is $31 million in 2022. Aaron Rodgers' cap hit in 2022 is basically $40 million. It's $39.8 million. Aaron Rodgers is going to cost more money in 2022 than Pat Mahomes. In terms of salary cap hit, the Chiefs walked away from this completely unscathed. And somehow they made Pat Mahomes happy, and the entire world thinks the Chiefs just dished out the biggest contract in history. This is the biggest scam in history. And Pat Mahomes should fire his agent. Because Pat Mahomes' agent is being lauded as this great elite agent and just got his contract garbage. Absolute putrid garbage. And if anything happens to Pat Mahomes, if he starts to fall off or gets any kind of major injury, there's nothing here. There's nothing. If he goes another year or two and something happens, he's just done. And he gets no money. 31% of this contract is guaranteed. This is a complete scam. But yet you get his agent on Twitter saying, actually, if you look at the full contract, in other words, if you add on the extension plus the 3 remaining years, he's over $500,000, making him the first ever player to have a contract of $500 million. This is why the agent did it. He got a baseball contract. He got $500 million. This is the biggest contract, not just in the NFL, in sports history. ESPN writes an article Pat Mahomes tops Mike Trout for biggest contract in sports history. CBS Sports' biggest contract in NFL history. Pat Mahomes tops list with reported 10-year deal. Market Watch. Pat Mahomes reportedly signs largest contract in the history of U.S. sports. The agent did this for himself, not for Pat Mahomes. He got Pat Mahomes a 3-year deal in which $141 million is guaranteed. And look, maybe $141 million guaranteed is all they could work out, and so that's fine. But all this other stuff that's tacked on is just for the agent. It's just for the agent. It's to make Pat Mahomes feel like he's awesome. And the Chiefs are looking at it like, yeah, I get it. I don't care. This was a behind-the-scenes deal that the agent was able to swindle with the Chiefs. Like, look, if this is all you can get me, we'll agree to it. However, there's some contingencies here. Let's tack on a ton of fluff. Make this look real good. And really, it's if I'm the Chiefs, I'd be embarrassed. Like, this is fake, though. Like, people are going to catch on. This is borderline fraud. Because, again, they literally could have made this a 50-year deal for $1 trillion, and it wouldn't have made a difference. It would make no difference. You can do that with this exact same structure, and it wouldn't matter. Because after 3 years, the Chiefs have the ability. At this point, it's like a month-to-month contract. It would be like instead of going and signing a 1-year lease with somebody, your landlord comes to you and they're like, look, we've reviewed your application to rent here. We're fine with it. We'd be happy to have you as renters, great family, all that. We've got your contract to sign, and it is a 50-year lease, but I don't want that to scare you. After the 1 year, you go month to month. And you're like, okay, so what does it mean it's 50 years? I don't understand. Well, you're signing a 50-year lease, and you're agreeing to stay 50 years, but with the contingency that after 1 year, you can walk whenever you want. And if you'd like to sign another shorter lease, you can, or just go monthly. Either way is fine. The 50-year thing is made up. It's fake. It's nullified by the fact that the month-to-month kicks in after a year. It nullifies the other 50 years, meaning the 50 years is written in there just because. It's the same thing with this contract. It's a 10-year contract. No, it's a 3-year contract. After that, Pat Mahomes is going year to year. And within that time, because he's only going to be 27 years old, he's going to have a restructured contract, which will probably give him a little bit more guarantees and will lessen the cap for the Chiefs. The rest of this 7 years is fake. It's all fake. Now, it provides a little bit of structure in terms of, you know, when they restructure the contract, they're going to actualize some of that money. Some of that money is going to go from being fake to being real, but that's it. They're going to turn some of this fake money into real money, and then that'll allow the Chiefs to lessen the salary cap hit, which is ridiculous because it's really not, again, it's not that high. You're looking at, and they could do this as early as 2023. Again, in 2021, it's a low cap hit of $24 million, $25 basically, which is ridiculous. Pat Mahomes in 2020 and 2021 is $5 million and $24 million. He's going to be one of the lower cap hit quarterbacks, not lower paid, although he is extremely low paid, but he just got a massive chunk of money in his bank account. So now he's getting, you know, $1 million here and there just kind of thrown at him. 2022, $31.5 million. Again, that's nothing. By 2023, again, the guarantees have run out. More or less, he's got $4 million in guarantees left. The Chiefs, if something happened, they could easily cut him and nothing, get out of here. And that would be incentive, right? They could just ride it out. Like, well, they're not going to cut me. I'm Pat Mahomes. They're just going to pay me. But again, that's just a cap hit. $42 million isn't money in his, and I don't know, maybe Pat will just continue raking the cheat. Because again, they can't trade him. There is a no trade clause. So I guess there is some power there where he could just be stubborn and suck up all these roster bonuses and refuse to come to the table. And as long as he plays at an elite level, he's not going anywhere. So maybe the Chiefs will be paying this $39.9 million, $41 million, $41 million, whatever. Maybe. But again, they made sure by 2027, this one real big, massive, disgusting cap hit of $60 million, which I'm guessing even in 2027 is going to be silly, Chiefs aren't paying that. And Pat Mahomes is 31 years old. And by that point, Pat Mahomes realizes maybe he'll play till he's 40. Maybe he won't. I don't know. But he's one bad injury away from getting cut and seeing no more money. So he will come to the table at least by here. So I don't want to make this all about Pat Mahomes, but please understand that all of this is a big spectacle. the Chiefs are making it look like they just paid Pat Mahomes. They just turned it all over to him. They did not. Pat Mahomes is strutting around like he got some big bad contract, and he did. He got paid a ton of money, and he's going to get paid a ton of money every year that he can continue to play. But again, it's as of right now, it's basically a month-to-month. After 3 years, it's a year-to-year contract. And his agent is the big winner here. He is strutting around like, I mean, it's a status thing. He has established himself as one of the great agents. And as much as you think everybody can read through this, he's going to put this on his resume. He's going to go to these college kids. You know, you look at the quarterbacks coming out. He's going to be going to guys like Trevor Lawrence and saying, look what I just did for Pat Mahomes. I got him a 10-year contract for $500 million, which is, of course, how he's going to say it. He's already on Twitter correcting everyone. Excuse me, it's $500 million, actually. He's going to go to Justin Fields and start screaming about $500 million. Biggest contract in sports history, which is a massive milestone for an NFL player, despite the fact that, again, this is all fake. And the team played along because, again, they want the spectacle, too. Pat Mahomes wants the spectacle. They all want a spectacle, but it's all fake. $141 million, that's what he got. Spread out for the most part over the first 3 years. But anyways, that's enough of that. It's just, it's slightly annoying. And me being how I am, especially as soon as I looked at it, as soon as I saw the contract and how this looked, the first thing I did is I looked at dead cap. Because once that dead cap goes down low enough, you can go bye-bye. And again, by 2023, there's $4 million left. It's just, it's dumb. Again, in that same year, Rodgers has $3 million left. Some more not necessarily surprising COVID news. The Green Bay Packers kind of came out with a general, this is where we're at sort of thing. Essentially saying, first of all, we can't control whether or not we can have fans. That's more of a governmental thing. But our plan, if we are allowed to have fans at the stadium, is to, number one, require face coverings, and number two, it's going to be significantly reduced in terms of how many people are allowed to be. Now, the Green Bay Packers especially, and I think they have a especially difficult challenge because they don't have seats, they have benches. Now, if you had stadium seats, see, and this is problematic either way. If you look at a lot of places, what you do is you just kind of make it so that you can't sit at every other seat or whatever. It's not going to be 6 feet of distance. I guess you could do, you know, two seats blocked out and then a seat and then two seats blocked out and then a seat and then do every other row, you know, so that there's nobody directly in front of you, behind you, or next to you. You can't really do that at Lambeau. The best you can do is block out the bench in front of you and the bench next to you. But it's problematic. And then beyond that, if you think about who's going to want to go to a game with your family, you know, you're going to go with your little kids, but they have to sit like several seats down. The logistics of this don't make any sense. And then what happens if you get people that take their masks off? Are you going to have people around patrolling and kicking people out? And, you know, even if it's reduced down to, from, you know, 70,000 down to 30,000. Out of 30,000 people, lots of people are going to have masks off. Lots of kids are going to be taking their masks off. Whether it's in defiance or just, you know, I'm taking a break or I'm taking a sip of my beer and I just don't feel like putting it back on. You know, I'm taking it off to cheer and to scream on third down, and some people want to cheer and scream on every down, and then the person in front is mad because you don't need to be screaming right now, put your mask back on. The logistics are just impossible, and it's almost silly to think that we can find a half measure, because I don't see how we can do a half measure. Just being realistic, I don't see how it works, unless we're just going to block off every other bench, every other row, and just call it good, which it doesn't sound like they're saying that's good enough. I just don't see how it works. If we're going to enforce social distancing, I mean, the point is you can't enforce social distancing at a football event because that is anti-social distancing. It's like having a clean pig wrestling event. Those are two opposite. You can't. It's not, first of all, it defeats the purpose. Part of the reason is that it's pretty messy. I don't even know if pig wrestling is a thing. I'm just trying to picture something that's gross. Like, it's going to be a sterile pig. First of all, the pig is not sterile. The pig is disgusting. The pig is rolling around in filth. You can't wrestle the pig and be clean. You can't go to a Packer game and social distance. And the Packers trying to feign that they care, but also cramming people together in these things is just, it's not a real thing. Again, that's the theme of today. It's fake. And you can't fake it. You can't fake wanting to enforce social distancing, but also getting as many people smashed into a tiny area as possible. You can't social distance at entrances and exits and bathrooms and concessions and bench seats. It's an impossibility. So either say that we're going to allow it, if we're allowed to, by our governmental forces, you know, federal, state, local. If everybody gives us the okay, then we're going to be okay with it. And, you know, we're going to hand out masks and encourage people to wear them. And we're going to block off every other bench row so that people can sit next to each other, hopefully family units and not in between. And that's the best we're going to do. Or just scrap it, man. And I don't want to scrap it. I'm just saying, you can't do halfway. Unless I'm missing something and there's some magic formula, it's not going to work. They also said in here that they're going to be asking season ticket holders to opt in or opt out. I'm guessing, in other words, just reaching out to ticket holders and saying, are you willing to come if we're doing this or not? Maybe just to give them a better idea of who's willing to come and who's not. Not entirely sure the purpose of that. But anyways, again, the NFL is trying to navigate the impossible. And I don't know how this is all going to pan out. I don't envy their position. I don't know what my answer would be if I was in that position. Because again, it's impossible. And to some degree, if you're going to say we're going to have football, you're going to have to stand up and say we're accepting some risk. You can't feign this idea that we're doing everything we can, because you're not. Because everything we can means we're just not going to do football. No, we're going to assume a good amount of risk. And we're going to do everything we can while assuming that amount of risk, but no more than that. We're doing what we feel is necessary and nothing beyond that. You're going to have to say and accept those words and accept the repercussions of that. I don't know, I guess it just kind of annoys me a little bit when you're trying to play both sides of the fence. Especially when all of us are in limbo, like, oh, looks like there's going to be a season. Oh, nope, doesn't look like there's a season. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Take a stance. Well, there's definitely going to be football, except we're going to cut this game and cut this game and cut this game and cut attendance and cut... What are you doing? At this rate, it's going to be kind of like that NASCAR thing where you're going to have football players playing Madden virtually, and we're all going to be watching that. Not saying pro or con, although obviously that would be a massive con, and I'm not watching that garbage. I'm just saying it's not a thing, man. And I think everybody knows that. It's a joke to think that we can make both things work. A football season and complete and total safety and security. Not a thing. On the flip side, it is probably still safer than going to a Raiders game, so there's that. The final thing I wanted to mention, and I guess I needed to learn a little something. I was mistaken, I guess, about the fact that I had thought, for the most part, rookie contracts were largely guaranteed. Apparently, that isn't the case. However, I don't think it's as uncommon as is being let on. The reason I bring this up, Jordan Love, his contract was finalized and the details came out, and it came out that his contract is fully guaranteed. Most people then, I shouldn't say, there was a large number of people then that came out and said, well, now we know 100% that Aaron Rodgers is gone. I don't really understand that. First of all, again, not a lot of the contracts have come out. Of the four first-round quarterbacks that have come out, only two contracts have been finalized that I'm aware of. At least we have details on two. Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa. Tua's contract is a four-year, $30.275 million contract, and $30.275 million of that is guaranteed. In other words, it's a fully guaranteed contract. So I don't think that that's uncommon. Dwayne Haskins, $14 million. Basically, it's a fully guaranteed contract. Four-year, $14 million contract to Dwayne Haskins. Daniel Jones, $25.6 million of his $25.6 million is guaranteed. Kyler Murray, $35 million of his $35.1 million was guaranteed. So there's $100,000 floating out there. So at least for first-round quarterbacks, this seems to be standard operating procedure. Now, maybe there was some different expectations because he's a backup as opposed to the rest of these guys that we've listed that are guys that were considered clear starters. Maybe a comp would be Lamar Jackson, who was a late-round guy. I don't think it was automatic that he was going to be a starter for the team, but he had 7.5 of his 9.5 fully, or not fully, I guess is a nonsensical way to say it. 7.5 of his 9.5 was guaranteed. But either way, we're talking about $12 million. So, you know, it's one thing when we're dealing with a fully guaranteed $100 million contract and a fully guaranteed $12 million contract. If we look at how this is laid out, and again, for a first-year quarterback, at best, what, maybe 9 of his 12 would have been guaranteed? So we're talking a difference of about $3 million. But at the end of the day, they're going to keep him. I mean, there wasn't really much chance that he's going to be cut before 4 years, right? He's a first round pick. And, you know, again, looking just at dead cap, there's no point in this in which the dead cap for cutting him is extreme. In 2021, which is the highest dead cap, it's $9.3 million. But again, in year two, why would anybody ever cut Jordan Love? It doesn't make sense. I don't know why you'd cut him in year three, even if it's not panning out. What does it matter? Do we have better backups that we just have to cut Jordan Love? So he's going to stay for 4 years. That's never really been a question. And we're talking about essentially his salary is going to be, you know, I mean, he made $6.5 million this year just signing this contract. But his salary this year is $600,000. Then next year he's going to make $1.1 million. Then 1.7. Then 2.2. There isn't a link for me between this contract and anything regarding Aaron Rodgers at all. There's no point at which you look at it and say it just doesn't make financial sense to not play Jordan Love. He's making very little money. It's a rookie contract. That's the whole benefit of rookies, is that they cost nothing. His salary cap hit, what we're paying on our salary cap to have Jordan Love on the roster over the 4 years, is 2.2, 2.8, 3.3, and $3.9 million. At no point are we looking at this and saying, man, we got to move on from Rodgers. We just can't afford. We got to pick one, either Jordan Love or Aaron. No, we don't. No, we don't. Now, come 2023, there's going to be a decision made. Are we comfortable enough with Jordan Love to move on with Aaron Rodgers? But the point is, either we're going to move on from Aaron Rodgers and let Jordan Love take over, or we're going to continue with Aaron Rodgers, possibly extend his contract out, let Jordan Love play one more year, and then probably move on and not exercise his fifth-year option and just move on after that, similar to Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky's still on the team. And Mitch Trubisky's making a lot more money than Jordan Love because he was a much higher pick. So his contract is much more expensive. But they're going to let him play this out, and then they're going to move on from him after this year. It's why they didn't exercise his fifth-year option. So there's nothing to me that says that fully guaranteed at signing means anything. I think it's pretty standard practice. Maybe they could have got away with a little bit, but again, we're talking about $3 million. This extra vote of confidence, maybe what people are reading into this is the kind of contract you give a guy that you're expecting to take over, and that's fair. But I think we had to, on some level, know that that's the expectation. They're not going to pick Jordan Love in the first round to be a backup. They picked him because they believe he can be the guy to take over, and they're paying him as such. We have to know that was the plan all along. This is the guy to replace Aaron Rodgers. Now, if he can't live up to that, then he can't live up to that. But we're not stuck with the guy. This doesn't cement that Aaron Rodgers is gone in any capacity. So, again, I'm bringing that up. I don't know if that thought crossed your mind. I had seen articles written on it. So I'm assuming some of you had said that and had seen that and maybe believed that, and I want to correct the record. Nothing changes. Jordan Love is going to be here for 4 years. No question about that. He's going to play out his contract. The only question is he going to supplant Aaron Rodgers at any point? And largely that comes down to two things. How good is Jordan Love and how much do we trust him and his ability, and Aaron Rodgers' contract and our ability to move on from Aaron Rodgers based on his contract, which is going to be a couple years yet. And again, maybe this will be something for tomorrow, but I don't think we have to wait as long as a lot of people are saying. In other words, I think that flexibility comes into play sooner than people are telling you that it comes into play. I knew the answer to that question off the top of my head just looking at this. I want to rework it, but a lot of people are saying it's not happening before 2023 or whatever. I don't think that that's true, or even 2022. I think it can be before that. I mean, just playing with over the cap, and again, I maybe I'm misunderstanding this, but they have options here. You can choose. If you go to over the cap, look at Aaron Rodgers. You have cut pre-June 1, cut post-June 1, trade pre-June 1, trade post-June 1. If you select trade post-June 1, dead cap money in 2020, $14.3 million. As in, if we trade him today, they have, if you cut him, it's about $20 million, meaning if you trade him, some of that money goes over. But remember, there is the roster bonus, which makes up $7 million. If you trade him before that, that's $7 million he doesn't get paid. So we would have to pay the base. No, we wouldn't have to pay the base salary because he's not here. So essentially all it would be is the $14.3 million this year, and then next year it would be the rest of this bonus accelerated into 2021. That would be kind of the biggest hit. That would be the pain spot. Anyways, again, I got to rather than just spout off whatever right now. I got to look at that a little bit. The point is, though, it's not about we're moving on from Aaron Rodgers. It's those two questions. Is Jordan Love ready? Are we financially able to move on from Aaron Rodgers? Those are the only two questions. Those have always been the only two questions. And again, the Jordan Love contract and the fact that it's fully guaranteed and all that stuff, it doesn't affect the equation at all. It's still just those two questions. Is Jordan Love ready? Can we move on from Aaron Rodgers? If we can move on from Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love is ready to take the reins, in other words, we believe that it's ready to, it's go time, it's going to happen. That's it. I mean, the only possible third equation is that Aaron Rodgers is playing at a Hall of Fame level, in which case, okay, maybe not. So pending this big resurgence with this scheme and everything else, but that's when things could possibly get complicated. Otherwise, this is very straightforward, and it always has been. But anyways, I got to get going. You folks have yourselves a fantastic rest of your day. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.